Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So as we are coming close to the conclusion of our sermon series, Intentional Stewardship Season, of focusing on what is the faithful path for now as a congregation, today's reading is really going to talk about the broader mission of God as expressed through the church. And so we're going to hear two scriptures today. One is from the book of Nehemiah from the fourth chapter, verses 10 to 23. So hear now this. But Judah said, "The strength of the burden bearers is failing, and there is too much rubbish, so that we are unable to work on the wall. And our enemies said, 'They will not know or see anything before we come upon them and kill them and stop the work.' When the Jews who lived near them came, they said to us 10 times, 'From all the places where they live, they will come up against us.' So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and open spaces, I stationed the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your kin, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.' When our enemies heard that their plot was known to us and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and body armor. And the leaders posted themselves behind the whole house of Judah who were building the wall. The burden bearers carried their loads in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and with the other held a weapon. And each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'The work is great and widely spread out, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Rally to us wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet. Our God will fight for us.' So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, 'Let every man and his servant pass the night inside Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day.' So neither I nor my brothers nor my servants nor my men of the guard who followed me over took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon in his right hand." Thus ends our first reading. Our second reading comes to us from the letter written to the church in Corinth from the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'll be reading verses 12 to 18. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday, as we hear the words of Nehemiah charged with rebuilding the beloved space of God's gathered people, and this call from Paul to remember how we are all unified as one body in Christ, We come today seeking understanding and our place in your work in the world. And so help us to hear with fresh ears and open our hearts to be moved by your Spirit, that it may guide our hands and feet in faithful service to you. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today's sermon title is Collaboration, Not Competition. And then you would probably think, why in the world are we talking about holding up swords and then also talking about being one body? Those two texts seem to be in contradiction to one another. And I wouldn't disagree with you. However, what is important for us, particularly within the life of the church, is to focus on one key aspect, and that is unity. Unity in Christ, unity with each other, unity to the world, and there are times where we fall short. Okay, there are a lot of times when we fall short of that vision. When we began this study, we looked at what does it mean to be in a changing landscape, the culture and the world, and what does it mean to be church now in this season, when so many can and have for many, many years, thousands actually, have used the word of God as a weapon or sword to cause division within the body and in communities and in families. We still do that today. It makes us wrestle with what does the Bible say to me? What does the Bible say to you? What does the Bible say to us? And that really forced us to reconcile some of the key foundational pieces for us as a community of faith. And that is the overarching story of Scripture is that God is a God of love. And we are part of God's good, beloved creation. And our relationships with God and each other have been fractured. And God desires for all of that to be made whole and beautiful back into reconciled relationships. And so the foundation of God is love, then we are supposed to stay in love with God and with one another and in communion with our neighbors. And we kind of said, who are our neighbors? And the reality is, if we're all created in the image of God, all of us are loved by God, and we are called to care for each other. And then what does that look like? Boots on the ground, right? What does that mean to be a church, and what is our mission? Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We're supposed to teach these fundamental teachings of Jesus to others so that they too may know the God of love and that God loves them and God loves all of us, and there is work to do. Because that transformation of the world part is making a difference out into the climate that we live in today, in the culture that we live in our homes, in our workplaces, at the grocery stores, when we're out and about engaging with people. We are to be love bearers everywhere we go. And then what does that look like for us as a church? I was reflecting on church a little bit this week. We are working on our Charge Conference preparations. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the structure of the United Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church is a worldwide denomination that has various areas through the world and churches that are all connected into those places. So when we look at Holly Springs, UMC, Holly Springs is considered a local charge. And this local charge is connected to a district, which is the Fairway District. And that Fairway District belongs to a conference, which is the North Carolina Conference, which is part of the Southeast Jurisdictional Conference, which is then part of the global denomination, right? The whole umbrella of the United Methodist Church. And you're like, what in the world does that mean? It's kind of like, here's Holly Springs. Holly Springs is in Wake County, which in Wake County is in North Carolina. North Carolina is part of the United States, which is part of North America, which is part of the global community. Do you see how we did that? And at every point, there's a connection there. That also means because we are part of a conference, we are connected to all the other churches in our regional area. So for us, we're going to be gathering at Sunrise UMC, which is off of Sunset Lake, right? But we'll also be joining with Fuquay Varina United Methodist Church and First Fuquay Varina United Methodist Church. Part of that connectional system where we are called to gather together, to partner together. But that's just the United Methodist Church. Have any of you thought about how many churches are in Holly Springs downtown proper? Have y'all ever thought about that? I mean, I have. I mean, you can't go down Main Street and not see Lake Springs Church, First Baptist, Holly Springs, Kirk of Holly Springs UMC. And that's just right on a two-block area. And that doesn't include Douglas Chapel AME Zion or Holly Springs UCC or Hope Church or Pine Springs, right? Or these churches that are gathering at elementary schools. And I just sat and I thought, man, our denomination says Holly Springs, you should be growing based on Holly Springs, North Carolina's growth. And I said, yeah. And all these other churches, people are going to church somewhere. It just may not be here. So how do I reconcile that? Because in some instances, when we are told you should be growing and your numbers should just be exploding, build, 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 I wonder if that's a quantitative way of measuring the health and work of the church versus a qualitative measure of the church, right? How do we understand our work and mission in a healthy way? And that comes to discipleship formation. How many people are coming to be part of the worshiping body? How many are plugging into Bible studies or small groups? Or how many are serving in a variety of roles and places? How many of us are prayerfully discerning what our financial tithes and gifts will be to God in order to support the work and ministry of this church? For me, that is the healthy aspects of church. And not to view these other churches around us as competition. Because ultimately, if we believe to be one body, one church under Christ, we are all about doing the work of God. It just may look a little different depending on where you are. And yet, when you gather us all together, we get a greater expression of what this church looks like in the world. Does it mean that we should just continue to do what we're doing and not try to be expansive or talk about the hard things? No. It does move us into a posture of how do we work together with these other faith communities? How many of you have tried to lift a couch by yourself and move it? Keith, how'd that work out for you? Huh? It's good to have another pair of hands. Absolutely. And I think how many of you are Friends fans in the TV series Friends? The the one episode where they had a couch and they were trying to get it up the stairs, and they were saying, what? Pivot! Pivot! Right? The outtakes from that are phenomenal, but the aired episode was great too, but it needed all of them to get that couch where it needed to go. Eventually, I think, I just remember them screaming, pivot, pivot. And I wonder, friends, if we as a church should yell the word pivot. 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 How can we work together and not in competition or in a place of thinking we can do it all on our own? Right? Because that's not what Paul's telling us. That's not what we heard from Nehemiah. Now, the circumstances in Nehemiah, they were fearing for their lives, but they knew that they needed to build the wall and offer protection at the same time. So they did this in rotation, and they communicated with each other and said, here's our muster point in case somebody tries to breach the space of weakness. And sometimes I wonder, for us as a church, do we sometimes say, danger, someone's trying to breach and break in, and maybe that's a threat to us, and we don't want to see that as a threat, rather as an opportunity to get a fuller expression of this one body in Christ. You put your right arm in, you put your right arm out. I'm sitting here looking at my hands and thinking that we have opposable thumbs, and thank goodness my cats don't, right? And then I'm looking at each and every one of you and give thanks for the unique persons that you are. Because here's the beautiful thing. We are not all gifted in the same ways. We're not all talented in the same ways. I mean, I'm looking at my buddy Chris over here, who video records and often captures beautiful images of this unified body. And I'm thinking particularly in pilgrimage and this beautiful expression of youth who gather with other youth throughout the conference, and how that is a great expression of the worshiping body of Christ in that space. I can't do what he does. This morning I was handed two beautifully handcrafted pieces of art that I know there are other pieces coming, and I'm like, these are beautiful. You will get to see them later, but not today. I can't do what they do, but they can, and it is wonderful. How many of you can bake? Some of us, yeah, some of us can. How about the rest of us? Don't know, right? How many of you can change the tire on your car if it goes flat? Some of us can, because our dads insisted that we be self-sufficient and know how to do that. But for my kids, I give them AAA and say, call them. Because I'm not coming there to help you with your flat tire, but they will, because your mama doesn't have the time to get to where you are, right? But what I'm trying to say is, friends, when we are thinking about church right now, this call to pivot, to really be attentive to what is going on in our place right now. What is going on in Holly Springs? Where is that need? I would probably guess that more now than ever, people want to feel less alone. People want to feel less isolated. People want to feel like there is something good in the world that we can cling to and hold on to. That there is this hope that we can claim as our own, and not only claim it, but then share it with others who may need it just as much as we do. And as we think about being church, how are we going to partner with our other neighbor churches? Are we gathering for intentional worship together to unify the body of Christ in this place? Are we collaborating our efforts to do the food ministries in our town? Are we attentive to the building relationships to be aware of where those needs are? And are we pooling our resources together to do that better than where we are right now? Because I got to be honest with you, there's a lot of work to do. And if we think that we, as Holly Springs UMC, are called to do it on our own, we are mistaken. We are called to do it in partnership with our UMC partner churches in our conference, in the world. We are called to do it with the other denominations and churches in our communities. And we're called to do it in an interfaith perspective. Because then in our shared humanity and call to be one body in Christ, that is where we see the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. So are we called to be in competition with one another? No. Are we called to work cooperatively with others? Absolutely. Are you asked by God to share your unique skills and gifts and passions here in this place? Yes. Because by doing that, there is nothing that cannot be done to the glory of God. Friends, in a time and a season where there is nothing but fear and division, let us bear witness of unity and collaboration and partnership, sharing God's love into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.